The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I'm going to talk about your boy Laramie today.
What did he do now?
He's basically made it sound like, well, if they want me around, I'd be glad to stay. And he said, whatever coach decides to do, I'm happy. I'd be happy to stay there with Deshaun and help win games. Just seems like he's not maybe thrilled. Although you would think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're reading too much into it.
Bag of money.
Yeah, I think you're reading too much into it. I think basically is what he's saying. I'm going to get paid.
Yeah.
I'd like for it to be here. That's up to the coach.
Well, here's the other thing. You say they lose recruits. If Texas and Oklahoma leave, and let's say they both went to the Pac-12, and now the Big 12 is no longer a Power 5 conference, you really think the best players in Texas are going to choose to stay at Baylor or Texas Tech or TCU and play in a non-Power 5 conference? That's not going to happen. I'm sorry. They want to be on the big stage, and without Texas and Oklahoma, the Big 12 doesn't have a place at the table.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Send a message to Aaron. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel. Comment on the, in there as well. Miss the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. All available on podcastarena.com. And mostly sportsy.
A little bit of sport.
Texter said you guys can actually do sports talk when you try. I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not.
I don't think that's a compliment, honestly. That sounds like a backhanded knock, but that's okay.
I'm
all right with that. We're going to have Brad Powers from pregame.com here in a moment. Let's talk to James real quick while we got a second. James, Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care. Hello, James.
I love it. Hey, guys, sports. What's going on, man?
Sports to you, sir.
Hey, so I wanted to just kind of throw in another perspective on this. You know, as fantasy football has taken such a huge part of football, do you think as the riders get younger and younger, kind of similar with the stories of baseball, as we see the steroid era guys kind of getting in, that in football, like Frank Gore being the reason I called in, you know, I remember, I'm 34 years old, and I remember it, seeing him every year for, I don't know, a 3 or 4 year stretch. Until Carlos Hyde came in behind him, he was a sought-after target. And, I mean, I know it's a huge part of it, fantasy, but it has nothing to do with what goes on the field. But just the mindset of it, I remember him being a huge name for a 3 or 4 year period. I just wanted to hear what you guys thought on how that would start to play into effect as the generation gets younger in there, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I mean, let's also keep in mind, like when Frank Gore was in his prime, the entire first round of fantasy football drafts was 12 running backs. I mean, that's everybody took running backs first. So yeah, guys like Frank Gore were valued higher than they probably should have been. But Frank Gore never was a first team all pro. I mean, Frank Gore was a good player for a long time. Frank Gore shouldn't be a Hall of Famer when the time comes, just because he's
I don't think the mindset of NFL writers is going to change that much.
No. I mean, but you say getting younger, like getting younger would be like being 60. Yeah. I mean, the guys that are voting now are ancient.
And the guys who are waiting in the wings are like my age.
You ever seen the movie 300?
Yeah.
You know, like when he climbs up that giant mountain and there's all those old disgusting people, like the oracles. That's what the voters for the NFL Hall of Fame are. They're like, they're all a bunch of ancient beings that they might be people, but you can't tell because their face is melting because they're so old. It's tough.
So my peers is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah, you graduated high school with most of them. Let's go to our man, the lead college football and basketball analyst for pregame.com, the man, the myth, the legend. You can find him at BradPowers7 and, of course, at pregame.com. Brad Powers joins us. Brad, how you doing, bud?
Excellent. How are you doing on this fine Thursday?
Cannot complain. And we are say goodbye to college football season. I mean, are you glad to be away from it?
Yeah, after this season, I am. To get away from it for a few months, do me some good.
Well, let's talk some hoops then. Let's take it to the new focus, Brad. And usually Thursday nights, we get a lot of Pac-12 action. A couple big ones tonight, Washington and Utah. Utah an underdog by a point now. Total around 134. What do you see in this game? And I'll be honest, since Washington's lost their point guard, 134 seems like a kind of high number.
Yeah, I would certainly lean under here, but I actually prefer Washington. I know they lost their point guard, the Kentucky transfer, but they've been trying to figure out the rotation here the last four games. Looks like they've finally settled on a guy. It's the freshman coming off the bench the last couple games. They seem pretty confident. And I'll say this, I know Washington's 2-5 in their last seven games, but all five losses were by 6 points or less, including a couple in overtime. So I think Washington, generally speaking, is undervalued. And on top of it, Utah, statistically, good offense. But when they've had to step up in competition and face some really good defenses, only two this year, they've faced two top 25 defenses, hasn't been good. A good look for Utah. They've gotten blown out in both of those games. Last I checked, Washington has a good defense. I like the Huskies here. It's one of my favorite plays of the day.
Something I like to look for are teams coming off a tough road trip. And a couple Sundays ago, Oregon State destroyed Arizona at home. Mm-hmm. And then they hit the road. They go to Washington, they lose. They go to Washington State, they lose. Now they come home and they get a UCLA team that I don't think very highly of at all. They're giving up 7.5, 8 points. What do you think of Oregon State's chances tonight?
I lean with that. That's certainly where the market is. And I don't mind buying low off a team off two back-to-back double-digit losses. Obviously, the home-away splits, specifically in the Pac-12, because it's such a unique schedule compared to the other conferences where you have these back-to-back, always on the road, where it's a Thursday, Saturday. So I think, generally speaking, Pac-12 home teams are an advantage. That'd be the only way I'd look tonight, Oregon State.
Oregon USC going tonight, Oregon -9. I mean, kind of slightly under the radar. USC's sitting at 15-3. They're getting 9-10 points against an Oregon team. What do you think of the Trojans' chances?
Yeah, I mean, the market's all over Oregon here, but I agree with you. It seems a little steep for me, especially a USC team that's won three straight, covered three straight, not getting a lot of publicity there in a city where, obviously, they're going to play second fiddle to the Lakers and the Clippers. I'm a little surprised it's up to 9.5. I would lean with USC here.
A couple big games on the docket for tomorrow, Wisconsin at Purdue. You and I have talked on our podcast about the Big Ten home trends and how dominant they've been. Purdue, who I don't think very highly of, catching 4.5 at home against Wisconsin. Do you think these home road splits continue, or do you think we're starting to see the regression?
I think we're starting to see the regression. It's funny, after I tweeted out that the Big Ten home teams proceed to go on an 0-5 against the spread run. Now, I didn't think those Big Ten home teams were necessarily you're paying a premium on them, so I don't think that was the issue there. Maybe you're starting to get some inexperienced teams starting to gain some experience in conference play. They're starting to overcome the dichotomy between the home and away. But no, if you had to ask me, from this point forward, what would you rather bet, on these Big Ten home teams or bet against these Big Ten home teams? I would say I want to bet on them still, because the reality still is there's not a lot of elite teams in the Big Ten. There might be one, Michigan State, if they get their act together. Other than that, the disparity between the second-best team and the 12th-best team in the Big Ten, we're only talking, as far as a power rating, 3-4 points at most. So I don't think that this Big Ten home team trend is all of a sudden going to go away just because we've had a bad five-game stretch.
You and I can argue all day about Illinois basketball, but that's a different topic for a different day. the marquee game tomorrow night, Marquette at Butler. Butler sort of in a tailspin. Marquette kind of on the rise. What do you think of this matchup? Butler now getting 5.5 at home.
I'm going to go with the over. And you and I did the podcast earlier, projected it to be right around six as far as the side goes. I don't see much value with the side, but I do think there's some correlation. If you're thinking about betting Marquette, I think you got to go with the over, certainly because Butler defensively has struggled so much in these three losses that the Bulldogs have suffered here, three straight. They're giving up right around between 77 and 78 points per game, which is 24 points per game more than what Butler was allowing the first 16 games of the season. Something's not right with that Butler defense, and something's definitely not right with a couple of their shooters, particularly Sean McDermott. So I think he actually can improve in this game. I know Marquette's going to get their points. I'm on the over.
A couple games of interest here in the great state of Texas over the weekend. One of them, boy, you talk about feeling like a trappy line, and this, there's no line available yet, but the system you and I use to create our lines for the podcast says that LSU is going to be a one-point favorite at the University of Texas on Saturday. We just saw Texas get decimated by West Virginia, and LSU get a close win, but a win over a good Florida school. Is that number ridiculous? Am I missing something here with Texas?
It seems a little short. I wouldn't be a bit surprised it gets bet up. Now, you and I talked about this on the podcast. We're going to see a phenomenon this Saturday in college basketball that we haven't seen all year, and that being you're going to get a heck of a lot more public betting into the marketplace. Why? There's no football this weekend. It's the first non-football weekend, if you discount the Pro Bowl, since August. We're talking six-plus months here. People are going to want to bet on public teams. They're going to, if they caught one basketball game on Monday, it might have been that Texas game that was on national TV and it was such a blowout. People are going to want to bet on LSU here. So I think the line will probably be a little higher than one. You know, I'm not anxious to bet Texas, though, even though they're off such a blowout loss. I actually felt very fortunate covering against LSU with the Florida Gators, a team I like a lot. So I don't think there's a lot of value here.
Well, speaking of the Florida Gators, they'll be involved in one of the marquee games of the weekend. They're hosting the Baylor Bears in the Big 12 SEC sort of standoff. We're looking at this line at Florida right around a point and a half underdog. What do you say about this Baylor-Florida matchup?
That's what we're projecting it, but I'll just come out and say this. I wouldn't be a bit surprised it goes higher. Why? Because I think the general betting public, their favorite play on Saturday is going to be Baylor. Here's why. You got the number one team in the country taking on an unranked team, and you're going to have that number one team laying a really low number here against a team that's 12-6, the Florida Gators. I think Baylor will be a square pick. I'm going to take Florida here, who defensively match up well. Florida's played the better schedule in terms of that they played the stronger schedule. And then you also look at Florida, how they handled playing a marquee team earlier. Well, let's just go to last Saturday at home against a one-loss Auburn team. They absolutely destroyed the Tigers. I think the pressure of being number one, something that the Baylor players aren't used to, it's only the second time in school history they've been number one. I think it gets to them on Saturday. Florida wins outright.
Brad Powers from pregame.com. One more before we let you go, Brad. Kentucky at Texas Tech will project it at 3.5. Texas Tech favored by 3.5 at home against the Kentucky Wildcats. What do you see here?
Yeah, I think more disagreement from you and I. I could see your point more on this one. Kentucky being a matchup disadvantage for Texas Tech, especially down low where they have the size advantage. That I'll agree with you on. But another one, I think Kentucky's another very public bet on Saturday. So people are going to come into the market. Oh, my goodness, I can play Kentucky against Texas Tech. I mean, other than last year, who knows Texas Tech? And I'm getting 3 points here with Kentucky. I want to bet Kentucky. To me, I'm going to, again, fade a very, let's call it ignorant, college basketball public betting market that's coming in the marketplace here. I'll take Tech here plus or laying the 3.
You know, I lied to you. There's one more going on tonight of local interest.
Uh-oh.
The Houston Cougars on the board. Houston, a 9.5-point favorite. Hosting Ray Allen and the Connecticut. No, I guess Ray Allen does not play for the Connecticut Huskies. Just the regular Connecticut Huskies. What do you see with the Huskies and the Cougs?
You know what? I'm liking what I'm seeing from Houston here. Outside of the Tulsa loss a few weeks back, I mean, you know, big win for them against Wichita State. You and I talked about that game. That's about as big as a win as you can get on the road against Wichita State team that, that needed the win. And they win that one. I'm going to defer to you, but right now I like what I'm seeing with Houston. What last 10 games, what are they, 9-1 against the number? They've only lost one game straight up. This is a hot team right now.
And I would say that Tulsa loss looking better and better after what Tulsa did to Memphis last night. 80-40. In case you didn't catch that score, 80-40. Tulsa doubled up ranked Memphis team.
And the one thing that UH has had problems with is streaks where they can't shoot. And that's what happened at the end of the Tulsa game. They couldn't score a basket and wound up blowing the game. So you're right, though. That loss does look better.
Yeah, I do like the Cougs tonight. I think that they've got some matchup advantages. At least they should against UConn. All right, that is Brad Powers from pregame.com. Check him out there. Check him out on Twitter, at BradPowers7. Check him out usually every Thursday on our show. Check out our podcast. Just search Dream Preview on wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll be right there. Appreciate the time, as always, Brad. We'll talk to you. Hopefully, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.
All right, man.
All right, quick break. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. One of our long shots paid off.
One of our long shots paid off. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. You know, I probably shouldn't have done the show today.
You should be home babysitting.
Well, not just that. I've got a bunch of other crap going on. But you know what? It's been fun. Been sportsy, but fun. So I've got something non-sportsy for you. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. We go to Austin, Texas, where let's assume you're a 31-year-old woman.
Okay.
And
I know exactly what that's like.
Police suspect you have been in a fight.
Okay.
So when they arrive, you are standing on top of a parked car, twerking.
Oh, okay. And Austin's changed a lot since I lived there.
Then the police politely ask her to get down. She pulls down her pants and starts twerking even harder.
Ooh.
So eventually they drag her down, place her in handcuffs, put her in the back of a squad car. But she doesn't quit there.
Of course she doesn't. What fun would that be, Fred?
She then spits at the police officer.
Oh, that's uncalled for.
Yeah, yeah. She spat in his cheek as he was talking to her.
Were drugs and or alcohol
involved? I'm guessing both.
But we don't know for a fact.
No, all we know is she was released on bond from Travis County Jail, but has been charged with harassment of a public official, a third-degree felony.
You like to party? I like to party.
So she's only getting charged for spitting on the police officer, not...
I mean, is twerking really illegal?
Naked twerking?
Was she totally nude?
Well, she pulled her pants down. Her butt was nude.
Yeah, that's
in public. In public.
Well, it's Austin, though.
Yeah, well.
I mean, things are allowed in Austin that aren't allowed here, Fred. I got to tell you.
Well,
especially when it comes to nudity.
Well, maybe so. But that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
I don't know if you saw Sports Map today, which, by the way, the site continues to just kick ass. Thanks to everybody who reads it. My man, Paul Muth, wrote about getting punched by an old lady at a wrestling event, which is kind of funny. But then he went into the five most memorable or the best sports fights in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where you would rank these. Number five, he had Charles Barkley throwing the little guy through the window. That one was always a gold standard for a while there because that became a national joke. Then he has Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo after Rondo spit on him. Speaking of spitting.
That was a good one.
And turned into a punch. That was a good one. Derek Lewis beating up the boxer, number three.
That was fun to watch.
Yeah, I got to say.
I wish there was better video.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, that's a good one. That really is. That was the one when he put that on there. I'm like, oh, man, this is a good article. Number two, Vernon Maxwell fighting the guy in Portland.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And I bet you can guess number one.
Rudy T.
No, that wasn't really a fight.
Oh.
I mean.
Neither was the Derek Lewis one. Yeah, that's
true. That's true. But no, Rudy T getting his face smashed. Although it probably goes on here.
All right. Andre Johnson, Cortland Finnegan.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, football fights are the lamest. I will give Andre credit.
They're not as lame as. No, I'm going to disagree. Go ahead.
At least helmets came off.
Yeah.
Like, football fights with helmets is the stupidest.
I agree with that.
All you're going to do is break your hand.
I mean, come on. Baseball fights and basketball fights are weak.
Yeah, well, they're not really trying to, especially basketball. They're never really trying to fight.
Yeah.
Although, I did see a man pick up a stool this week.
But he didn't use it, did he?
He didn't. He thought better
of it. He probably realized, if I hit somebody with this, I'm gone.
I'm going to jail.
Yep.
All right. Listen, would you like to save money? Yes, you would. Of course you would. Here's how you do it. Grab your smartphone and send a text. Send the text to 232323. Send the word money. That's all you got to do. M-O-N-E-Y. They'll reply and ask for your address. You send that back. They're going to send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds, and you can start saving big money on your homeowner's insurance without ever having to talk to an agent, without ever having to deal with any kind of hassle or headache. It's super simple. The company, the savings are legit. Their online rating's nearly perfect. The average customer this year saved over $870 on home insurance. That could be you. And you don't even need to wait for your renewal. TGS is going to take care of the back end. You can free your mind and fatten your wallet. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start saving big today with TGS Insurance.
When I die, I put my money in a crib. When I die, I put my money in a grave. I really got to put a couple.
ESPN. 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Time to go to our man, Rafael Esparza. Follow him on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports. And, Rafael, we're down to one meaningful football game. And, kind of curious what the early action is telling us about the Chiefs and 49ers.
I mean, right now the early action is on the total. Everybody thinks this game's going flying over. I mean, that's why the total has moved almost two quick points. So it's going to be very interesting to see if we get any under money come in. The total opened up around 53. Most places have 54.5. Some money coming in on Kansas City opened up around 1, 1.5. It's still around there. But the books are telling me, including ourselves, 50-50 on the side, San Francisco and KC, but everyone's betting the over.
Yeah, I'm seeing 55 on your site right now, so have to keep an eye on that one. Lots of props that you guys do every year. What are some of the more popular ones, and then where do you look for value when it comes to the props?
I think for the value ones, always look at the quarterback ones, maybe some running back ones. But I love the cross-promotional sports. You figure with Zion and the Pelicans playing on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, look for a lot of Zion point prop bets, total three-pointers made by Zion compared to total field goals made in the game. That's just one of them, dunks per game. So we're going to have a lot of Zion and NBA prospects. Manchester United plays on Sunday, so you'll have total goals scored versus punts in the game. So we're going to have total. We're trying to hit the 700 mark right now. Right now we just finished the commercial prop bets and the puppy bowl. So we should have a full slate of prop bets hopefully by the weekend.
Awesome. Rafael Esparza, our guest. So what are you throwing money at now that we're just down to one football game? What other sports are you interested in?
It's college basketball. I mean, it's just been a complete chaos in college basketball. No one wants the number one spot. Keep an eye out for the San Diego State Aztecs. I mean, they're playing really good ball in the Mountain West. No one wanted to play them during a non-conference play. They should be fun to watch in March. It's going to be a hard out in March, so I've been really good at watching those games. The Mountain West bet every game over because they've been putting up some big, big, big points. The Air Force the other day put up 110 points. If you like overs and you want to watch a bunch of offense, bet every Mountain West game over.
All right, that's Rafael Esparza. You can follow him on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports. Rafael joins us every week. Rafael, appreciate the time, and we'll dive more into these props a little bit next week.
Take it easy. Have a fantastic weekend.
You too. All right. So, is he right about the Mountain West basketball?
I hadn't noticed the trend of all the overs, but I mean, he may follow it closer than I do.
He'd probably know since he puts all the lines together there. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
I had heard that San Diego State's pretty good.
You had heard that one?
I had heard that.
Okay. Yeah.
They've lost zero games.
He probably doesn't know you have a podcast.
He might.
I don't know. Maybe we'll have
to. You think I'm a big enough star?
I think you are. You know,
he doesn't.
No.
Well, certainly.
Well, maybe we should have a little chat with him.
No, that's all right. I like to fly under the radar, Fred. You know me.
Yeah. So have you been paying attention to this China virus? I guess we hit on a little bit yesterday.
The coronavirus?
Well, they call it the deadly Wuhan virus.
Oh, I just like to call it the coronavirus.
I don't know why it has to have different ones, but they call it deadly now. I didn't realize it was deadly.
Yeah. Did you hear some Aggie brought it over?
No.
Yeah, some Aggie brought it to Brazoria County.
Oh, no, we're not going there.
It's coming close to us.
We canceled that show we had planned out there.
We're screwed.
But
I don't want that. I don't want Wuhan. I don't want coronavirus. I don't want SARS or any of that stuff.
Well, why does it all come from China? What are they trying to do?
Don't they always wear those masks?
Yeah.
And they're bringing us stuff. I'm against that. Those masks don't work.
Clearly, or you wouldn't be walking around with it. But
first death outside the epicenter.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's already happened.
Well, did you see where it may have come from?
No.
According to scientists, they think they've uncovered its animal origins.
Oh, no.
You're going to love this because I know how you feel about these things. Their new research suggests the virus is native to snakes.
Oh, get rid of them. All of them.
I'm against that.
Get rid of all of them.
It says most of them cause little more than a common cold. They're potentially very dangerous. They also infect a wide variety of animals. And apparently snakes, very common.
Oh, if my dog gets sick from this.
That.
Yeah, I do say that.
Well, so somehow somebody got it from a snake. Now, I'm not saying that it was like that video that was going around that time with the guy with the snake.
Right.
I'm not saying that. But, and Jacob said they need to stop eating bats. Yeah, that's where it started.
Gross.
So what are we calling it? Are we calling it the coronavirus or are we calling it the Wuhan virus?
So I'm seeing coronavirus is like a broad term for all these kind of respiratory diseases.
Okay.
Wuhan is like where, I guess that's where this particular strand started in the Wuhan province of China. So we're going to call it Wuhan.
Okay. I just want an official.
Wuhan sounds like an exciting thing.
Well, yeah, it sounds like a place you would go to, well, I don't know, see ping pong balls shot around or something.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we're going to Wuhan.
Yeah, I'll be honest. If I was like the brand manager for Corona, I wouldn't be exactly happy about coronavirus.
Yeah.
Like imagine Tony Romo trying to hawk beer and then he just dies on the beach. A snake comes out of his mouth.
every time someone gets a coronavirus, a Corona gets its lime.
Yeah.
So, oh, man. As I had, I don't know if I've got
Corona time. Gets his lime, a human dies of respiratory illness. Damn. It's harsh.
I have some more from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention.
Okay.
They did a recent study combining data from 2015 to 2018. And basically, they decided who were the laziest states in the country.
Who's the champion?
Well, basically, they broke it down. The South is number one. 28% of adults do nothing. Second was the Northeast, 25.6%. Midwest and West at 25% and 20.5% in particular. Seven states reported the highest levels of inactivity. Not going to be hard to figure these out. In these states, 30% or more of adults were physically inactive. And the good news is you were throwing darts at Texas and you hit just about everybody else. But Texas, you would be right.
We're not lazy?
Not as lazy as Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, and Kentucky.
All right.
Now, for as lazy as these people are, why are they so good at football?
That's a good question.
I'm just curious. The most active areas, I don't think would surprise anybody, Colorado, Washington, Utah, Oregon, and interestingly enough, the District of Columbia.
All right.
So,
well, I mean, politicians, we know they're lazy.
Well, I know, but they're active for some reason. It must be all their interns that are active.
That's probably what it is, getting coffee and stuff.
And they've got to stay in shape when they bang the senators and stuff. So, yeah.
Hey, guess who's forward-thinking these days? Brigham Young University.
Oh, really?
How many BYU mentions have we had today? It's got to be a record, huh? Three or four? Guess what's going to be allowed now at BYU?
Marriage?
In their ballroom competitions. Same-sex dancing.
Really?
Yeah. They host the nation's top amateur ballroom championships. And this will be the first time that you're allowed to have man-on-man dancing.
Well, congratulations, BYU.
Yeah. BYU, in order to host the showcase, which it has every year since at least 1997, BYU was required to lift its ban, keeping same-sex couples from competing this spring. Now, the thousands of collegiate and studio dancers from across the country who come to show their skills will be able to dance with whomever they choose. This was a major concession because of their honor code forbidding gay relationships as well as all forms of physical intimacy that give expression to homosexual feelings. Even in its own classes, BYU does not allow two men to dance together for practice. I like how suddenly two dudes dancing together or two girls dancing together is like the same as gay sex. I feel like there's a difference there. There's got to be like got to be something else.
Even grinding away, it doesn't count.
Yeah. But yeah, after apparently that's after some pressure, they decided, well, we want to keep this thing going. We're just going to have to allow it. So same-sex dancing coming to BYU, to Provo, Utah.
Interesting.
Are you excited? Will you be participating?
I will not be participating, but I might get excited.
Okay.
Just depending. Like, yeah. If you remember how they were training the guys in Blades of Glory, if that's what it is, yeah, that's exciting.
All right.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so this went from pretty much all sports.
No sports.
To
gay ballroom dancing.
Twerker, snakes, and gay ballroom dancing. It's
exactly that.
All right. Well, you know where you can bet on all of that. MyBookie.ag. And, guys, you heard Raphael earlier, some of the stuff that they've got on there for the Super Bowl. You can bet on football. You can bet NBA, Premier League, college hoops. You bet UFC. That big event coming up here, you can bet on it right there on MyBookie. And when I get back into hockey next week, you can do that. And you want to bet horses on there, you can do it. They've got everything. Fast payouts, great promotions, and helpful 24/7 customer service. It's all at mybookie.ag. And if you join up now, MyBookie will match your deposit 50% all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you'll get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. They've got all kinds of reload bonuses and things of that nature. Check them out. Make sure they're right for you. And if you're already on the site, just check your email or your text because they're going to tell you what they've got. And for special events, all the time, they'll give you opportunities to go in and gamble. All you have to do is use promo code radio to get signed up. That's promo code radio to get your extra cash from mybookie.ag. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie. Just need a better life. Put the gun in the eyes. I'm on the knees. Had to shoot. Had to fight.
This is The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5.
I think I need help. I'm drowning in myself.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Come join us tomorrow, Sam Houston Race Park, 4 to 7. And hopefully I won't have any more issues tomorrow, so I'll be able to be there. You got Hoffman on Hollywood?
I certainly do, Fred.
Well, let's rock it.
Let's rock it indeed. Let's start with a guy who you talked about earlier this week, John Mayer.
Or Dave Matthews. Which one is he?
No, okay. It's John.
That was last week.
Was it John? Okay, last week. Jessica Simpson came out and started talking about John Mayer. They dated for a while. But she's written a memoir and says that John Mayer was obsessed with her sexually and emotionally. And she finally had to walk away from him because the relationship was too intense. They dated for about 2 years, and in 2010, he called her sexual napalm in an interview with Playboy, which she said she was really embarrassed about. He thought it was a nice thing to say.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a compliment.
She said she was embarrassed that her grandma would read that, and to which my initial thought was, your grandma reads Playboy? That's weird. But
I'm sure she's seen worse then if she reads Playboy.
So. She also admits that she was abused by a family friend when she was a child. And that started from when she was 6 years old till she was 12. And the pressures of that, along with her relationships, led her to drink and abuse pills to cope with the emotional pain. So if you're interested in Jessica Simpson, who, by the way, still hot.
Yeah.
But she's telling some stuff these days. Joey Kramer, longtime drummer from Aerosmith, tried to have a judge rule that he can participate with the band when they play the Grammys this weekend. He's been out for a while with an injury, basically.
Okay.
And Aerosmith scheduled to perform at the Grammys. Kramer sued the band, claiming they breached his contract by denying him the opportunity to perform. They said, if you're going to play with us, you've got to like show us that you're physically capable of playing. He played for them, and they were like, dude, you ain't ready. And so he sued the band, and he lost. So they're going to have a replacement drummer. They had one for their Las Vegas residence, and we'll have one for the Grammys.
And I'm guessing one for all the future at this point.
Boy, the dignity level is... I mean, that's bad. But he says, I'm being deprived of the opportunity to be recognized along with my peers for our collective lifetime contributions to the music industry. I mean,
if you're not right, you're not right.
Yeah. If you can't do it, you can't do it. Let's see. What about The Witcher? The Witcher Season 1 has broken a record with 76 million views.
Yeah.
In its first month, platform's biggest opening for a TV series so far.
Yeah, it's going to pass Stranger Things, Orange is the New Black, all of those.
Wow. Up until now, Netflix has based its viewing figures on accounts who'd watched at least 70% of one episode or of a series or 70% of a feature film. But now they're calculating their numbers based on accounts who've only played an episode or a film for as little as 2 minutes. So it could be people turning on The Witcher, watching 2 minutes of it and going, this sucks, and bailing on it. But it has set a record.
I think it's because gamers are into it.
And maybe
it's
so.
It's a big deal with the gaming community. And for once, I think they did a good job with something that's come over from a game. And people appreciate that.
OJ is suing the Cosmopolitan Hotel for defamation. Because they said that he was drunk and disruptive before being banned from the casino. And OJ says that is slanderous, and it's called tangible damage to his reputation. And Cosmopolitan has a really logical response. They said, OJ's already too tarnished to defame. There's nothing we can say about OJ that would make people think less of him. They said he was playing the race card, and we're saying anyone can do anything or say anything against him now. That's what OJ's lawyer says. And to that, they said, pretty much, yeah. Like, we thought he was drunk. Somebody said he was drunk. Is that the worst thing that's been said about OJ this week? Probably not.
Yeah.
And finally, Harvey Weinstein. They're going with a new strategy in their defense. They're bringing intimate emails in from his accusers to try to convince the jurors in his rape trial that any contact was consensual. Basically saying they all wanted it. There's loving emails sent to Mr. Weinstein. So basically they all, some even bragged about being in a sexual relationship with him. So what it boils down to is basically they wanted it. They wanted the old Harvey love. I'm guessing that's not going to work out.
Yeah. All they got to do is, all the prosecutor has to do is point to him and say, look at this dude. Come on.
Yeah. Give him a break. And then he'll just point to his net worth and go, yeah. Maybe. And that is Hoffman on Hollywood, Fred.
I had a little tag on here.
Tag along.
The original Dark Knight Rises, when we talked about Heath Ledger died, right? So when he died.
The Dark Knight, not the Dark Knight Rises.
Talk about the Dark Knight Rises was supposed to feature the return of the Joker. He was going to be in the third one.
Okay.
That plan was already there.
Not prominently or?
No, he was going to be a big part of it. They wound up changing the whole plot. Because
he ruined everything
by dying. Yeah. And actually they had to end.
What a selfish, selfish.
They
dude.
Ended the Dark Knight with the Harvey Dent thing, but that was supposed to happen in the Dark Knight Rises.
With him dying.
Yeah. And with him getting burned.
Yeah. Yeah. Or yeah. With the girl dying and him being burned.
And then, there was another guy that was supposed to be in it as the Riddler, and they were looking at Leonardo DiCaprio. So, if you're mad at Heath Ledger for dying, here's another reason. He screwed us out of what really would have been an awesome Dark Knight Rises.
What a jerk.
I mean, it was good, but can you imagine having those two guys in it? All right. Instead of pain. Let's go wrap it up. Great job, Aaron. Great job, AJ. Thank you guys for entertaining me today. Appreciate it. We will be out at the racetrack tomorrow. Come and see us. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.